Thursday morning, Thanksgiving, November 24th, 2011. David Schiff speaking about Tefillah L'Shalom HaMalchus.
You did so well. I'm so impressed. I'm going to rehearse
behind. Okay. Good morning, all. As the old adage goes, before I speak, I'd like to say a few words. So three brief points of introduction. Number one, for those of you who don't know me, my name is David Schiff. My family and I moved from Boston to Teaneck about 2.5 years ago. And I will say we very quickly developed a deep affinity for the shul. First and foremost, it's incredible Mar D'Asra, goes without saying. But also the Kehillah itself, just the strength and the commitment of the Kehillah to Tefillah, to Limud HaTorah on a legal holiday series, and it's fantastic, to Medinat Yisrael. So we feel very privileged to be part of the community and part of the shul. I want to take this opportunity to thank Mark Zitter and the Adult Education Committee for lowering its very high standards and extending an invitation to me to speak this morning. I appreciate that. So that's point number one. Point number two, the formal title of today's talk, Tefillah L'Shalom HaMalchus, an Halachic Alternative to Thanksgiving Football. There's been some discrepancy. I know there were some certain announcements over the past few weeks that titled Tefillah L'Shalom HaMedina. So typically in literature, obviously post-1948, Tefillah L'Shalom HaMedina refers to the Avinu Shebashamayim Tzor Yisrael B'Goalo. That is not the focus today. The focus is going to be on Hanasein Shualam Lachim. That's more common in our Sidurim as either the Tefillah L'Shalom HaMalchus or the Tefillah L'Shalom HaMimshala, Tefillah L'Shalom HaMalchus. That will be the focus. I will say that I bumped into Eddie Sussman earlier in the week, and he was under the impression the title was Kel Mali Rachamim, an Halachic Alternative to New York Jets Football. That has application, but we can speak about that at another time, and I have lots to say there. Third point I want to make is that as I'm preparing, doing my research over the past few weeks, putting together, cutting and pasting the Makoros, so of course, Sunday afternoon I happened to stumble upon Scribnotes online. There's a YU packet, which is like a donut being served on your plate, talking about Tefillah L'Shalom HaMalchus, typeset Makoros, beautiful. So, of course, I would have been helpful to have found that a few weeks ago. Nonetheless, some of those Makoros do, in fact, enrich some of the topics we'll talk about this morning. And then, of course, I heard a share from Rabbi Fran from many years ago, where he discusses this concept and some nice ideas there as well. So, with that said, let's go to the videotape. Okay, so I'm a trader professionally, so I'm blessed with the ability to speak very, very quickly. I will try to slow down, so forgive me. We start with Parshas Miketz. Source number one, the pasuk says, Vayomer Paro el Yosef, Chalom Chalamti, Uposeri Noso, right? Paro tells Yosef, Nebuch, I had a dream. There's no one here who can interpret the dream. Ve'anisha mati alech lemor, I heard about you, O Yosef. Tishma chalom luftoroso, you have a unique skill, you have a unique ability to interpret dreams. Help a paro out. Says the pasuk, V'yad Yosef el paro lemor. Yosef responds, Biladai, Elokim ya'ane es shalom paro. So what does that mean, Biladai? Says Rashi. Biladai, ena ha'chachma mishali, the skill, the talent is not mine. In and of myself, I am nothing. Ella Elokim Yaneh Yitain Aniyah Befi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides interpretation. He should give the answer. L'Shalom Paro, for the benefit of Paro. Fine. Says the Medrash Lekachtov, Elokim Yaneh Es Shalom Paro Mikan, Shitzarech Adam Lispalel B'Shloma Shal Malchus. Meaning that Rashi seems to interpret the Pasuk. The entire pasuk refers to the response of Yosef to Paro. Biladai, I'm nothing. Elokim Yanesh from Paro Hashem should provide you with a response for the benefit of Paro. Says the Midrash, no. Biladai, full stop, that's Yosef's response. Then he turns and gives a tefillah. Elokim Yanesh from Paro, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please provide a response. Help Paro, help for the benefit of Paro. So the Midrash takes this point and says, no, mikash, it's sarach adam l'hispalo in general, v'shlomo shal malchus. Same idea is presented by the Medrash, by the Mechilta. Mechilta in Parshas Bo says, Vayitzaveim el Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Plus they're talking about Moshe and Aaron. Vayitzaveim el Bnei Yisrael el Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Says the Mechilta, Moshe chola kovod lo malchus. Moshe extended kovod, extended honor to the malchus. V'chein HaKadosh Baruch Hu omar lo lach lo kovod lo malchus. Right? Tzivom lach lo kovod lo malchus. Hashem gave a specific specific command, you are to extend kavod at all times to Malchus. The Mechilta continues, Uchim Matzina B'Yosef Shechala Kavod, Shenemar Lekimian Es Shlom Paro. Fine. So it emerges here from the Medrash, from the Mechilta, is that, right, there are two concepts. One is the concept of Kavod Malchus, and one is the concept, as the Medrash Lekach Tov says, we have a tefillah, or we have heavy mispalel, b'shlomo shel Malchus. Two concepts, I want to concentrate briefly on the first, and then focus more on the second, which is more of the meat and potatoes of today's discussion. So, Kavod Malchus, why is there such a thing as Kavod Malchus? So, in the Sefer Sam Derech, Reb Simcha Sissel Brody, the Chevron of Rosh Yeshiva, right, we just... Some of our boys here just enjoyed a great Shabbat Chevron this past week in the beautiful pouring rain. It was wonderful. So the Chevron of Rosh Yeshiva says as follows. He says, so we have an example of Yosef. We have an example of Moshe and Aaron, but there's more, right? Source number 6, Parshas Vayechi. Vayaged liYaakov vayomer hinei bincha Yosef ba'alecha. Yaakov Avinu, 137 subrachin years old, lying on the bed, and he's told that that Yosef, your son, is coming. Vayishchazek Yisrael vayeshev al hamita. Right, Yaakov girds his strength and he sits upright. Says Rashi, Amar afal pi shehu bini. Even though Yosef is my son, and right in Derech Eretz dictates that by and large a father does not extend kavod for his son. By and large. Melechu, nonetheless, he is a melech, he's the Mishnah melech, he's the viceroy of Egypt. Achalik lo kavod, I will change the Derech Eretz and I will go out of my way and extend kavod to him. Mikan shechokim kavod lo malchus. Fine, so Yaakov Avinu joins the venerable group of those examples. Perhaps the most startling, however, is the next one, in Source 8. Right, in Malachim, we know, in the spectrum of Malchei Yisrael, Achav HaMelech ranks just about in the basement. Right, Achav HaMelech, a Rasha, Choteyu, Machti, a Sarabim. He was a nemesis to Eliyahu HaNavi, right, throughout Eliyahu's entire life. Nonetheless, as the Pasuk, Devar Hashem Hayah El Eliyahu, Bashanah HaShlishlis Lemor, Leich HeRa'eh El Achav. Right, go out to Achav, Chazal tell us that Eliyahu HaNavi ran before the Merkava of Achav, he extended Kavod, which is even more amazing because... Right, Eliyahu HaNavi had nothing positive to say about Melech Achav. Right, and we talk about, well, maybe it's a government that we respect. Certainly, Yosef appeared to have an affinity for Paro. Right, clearly Yaakov had an affinity for Yosef. Moshe and Aaron, regarding Paro, clearly those weren't on such good terms. But the example of Eliyahu vis-a-vis Achav, nonetheless, you have to extend kavod. You have to extend kavod, right? I can guarantee you that anybody here, regardless of what you may or may not have said about any administration within your lifetime, it pales in comparison to that which Eliyahu HaNavi had to say about Achav. Okay. So those are examples. Says Reb Simcha Sissel, why? Why do we go to this extent to extend kavod malchus? And then typically when someone structures a shir, typically it's you get to the meat of the halacha, and at some point you drift on to the agadata, to the medrash, the hashkafa, and if you're still levitating into the Kabbalah, we're going to reverse that today in honor of Thanksgiving. First, we'll get into a little bit of the hashkafa, the ideological underpinnings of the concept, and we'll get more to the halacha. Says Reb Simcha Sissel, what is it about kavod malchus? So he brings a number of points. I'll focus on three. Number one, ka'asher roe melech basar v'dam. Shemin Hashemayim minuhu l'roshu manig v'chokul l'kavod gadol kolkach. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu specifically places a person in a position of prominence, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him kavod. Therefore, vaday she'adam she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosin lo kolkach harbe kavod, chol v'gam aleinu lach lo gol kavod. Right? It's logical. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, places people in places of prominence that they are worthy of kavod. If he does it, of course, we're going to do it. And the Reb Simcha Sissel says, he gives this example. If you're davening in the Groz Shul, right, the Vilna Gaon is standing there, right, somebody walks in, you have no idea who this person is, yet the Groz jumps up, runs over to him, Shalom Aleichem, showers him with kavod. Would it not be the case that everybody else in Shul is going to stand up, is going to act the same way? Of course you would, right? That's the way it is. He says, that's the same example there. Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, extends kavod to this leader, so too we are to extend kavod to a leader. Concept number one. Point, yes.
Supposing in this case, Hashem has sent a Navi, their Navim talking about Achav, in the name of God, it's not exactly very complimentary. So, I mean, if you were extending your mashal of the bro, you have to have the bro saying to the guy who comes in, you know, you're a rusher, you're nothing. So how does that fit in with something like that?
So I'm not sure that it has to be consistent with the message. The message can be critical, or in this case, the message can be, you know, quite damning. Nonetheless, you still have for the position of melucha, the position that is worthy of kavod, you can still give a damning message in a, you know, responsible fashion, I would think. I'm not sure the two are necessarily at odds. But the point is very well taken, that clearly Achav is an extreme example. And nonetheless, Eliyahu is still required to give kavod.
That point is supported. In fact, you make a bracha when you see a melech of a musa olam.
Beautiful.
You make a bracha. It's in one of the difference of shachalat the kodel of basar adam.
Terrific.
That's exactly the point.
Terrific. And the question is why. So, number one, excellent. Number two.
The question again, does that extend to...
Oh, so is it even in a government you don't like? Even if you have...
Oh, I was going to say that. Does it extend to... Though you certainly know how to push the buttons. Does it extend to... prime ministers and elected presidents beyond inherited titular kings.
Excellent. Hold the thought, because there's one source here that does seem to indicate that even in a democracy, this would apply. Great. So point number one. Point number two, Sir Simcha Zilsum, Yesodos HaNefesh HaAdam Yarech Dvar V'Yichabdeim. So this is more, you know, a simple concept, perhaps, that logically we should be mechabdim, right? One's role in life is to be constructive. Certainly as a Jew, one's life is to have a constructive role within society. However, ki kasher nafsho shel adam bazo mezalzeles bedvarim, hari shekol davar nasa zolu vilti chashuv eslo, if everything is garnished, right? Seh, no good, silly, that's not. If everything one does is filled with scorn, is filled with ridicule, you have a negative attitude, so that in fact is quite damaging, right? Particularly in Yahadus, right? We are supposed to be mechabdim, mechabit Torah, mechabit lomdei Torah, mechabit mitzvos, mechabit osei mitzvos. It's not healthy to be filled with scorn. The Lachain, he says at the end, Al Hadam Lizar Bechavod Kol Davar Ve'al Achas Kam Bechav Bechavod HaMalchus, essentially saying, the reason we were given, right, this halacha, this concept of extending kavod l'malchus, is just that. It's constructive. It's a constructive form of behavior. That is not to say in the least bit that we're not supposed to be skeptical, that we're supposed to take everything at face value, right? But to walk around and say, you know, Congress is ridiculous, the administration is ridiculous, the super committee is ridiculous, there are points of truth perhaps in all of those. The point is that the overall approach in life needs to be one of constructing, one of kavod, and the representation, the manifestation of that would be kavod malchus. Point number three, very quickly, mitzuvim anu b'chvod shemayim. Right? It is incumbent upon us to exercise kavod shemayim. However, malchus shemayim hi lamala, lamala mehasagaseinu. Right? Slight detail is we have absolutely no idea what that means. We have no concept of what malchus means, yet it plays such a prominent role, obviously in the Yom of Norayim, but in our davening every day, you know, halavai, we should be thinking of that we're, you know, dalef and miata omid every moment, but we really don't know what that means. Therefore, v'lachein chalak HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikvodo l'basar v'dam, perhaps that was the reason for the bracha also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends some of his kavod to basar v'dam, k'dei shenuchal l'hasig mashu b'mashu miyein malchus shamayim, right? If someone goes to visit London, right, you go to Buckingham Palace for the changing of the guards. Why? Because you get to pay the $45 entrance fee, perhaps. But when you're there, you get a hasag of malchus. Why? Right? It's a Queen Elizabeth is a pale, pale shadow of what the monarchy used to be like, right? King Henry didn't like the way that you looked at him. You're done. You wouldn't have to look at him again, right? So what's the value here? No, if you look, you see the horses and the guards and the soldiers and the pageantry. It gives you a mashu shiva mashu of what malchus means. And that, for that reason, we extend kavod l'malchus. So again, three reasons. One is that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a position of prominence. Number two is that we are to be mechabdim, we are to be constructive in our worldview, and the manifestation of that is kavod l'malchus. And the third concept being that it allows us to better appreciate our role to be mechabed shemayim when we see malchus or government or leadership in action. Okay. That's it for kavod malchus. Let's now get to the real topic at hand, tefillah l'shalom hamalchus. Okay, so we are in source number 9. So this idea that we learned from the lekach tov, mikancha, sorach, adam, lispalo, b'shalom hashalom malchus is not foreign to us, right? It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, very famous. Mishra b'chanan, Rabbi Chanina, skana kohanim omer, Hevi mispalel bishloma shel malchus. A person is supposed to daven, is supposed to pray for the welfare of the government. Why? She'el moli mora, ish esre'eyu chayim b'lo'o. That if not for a properly functioning government, human beings literally would swallow one another up. We don't need to extend too far to just look at the news in Libya, in Egypt, in Iraq. When a government falls, it's absolute hefker. I think the point of, at least at face value, the Mishnah is that anarchy is not good for human beings. Anarchy equals hefker. So even a malchus that perhaps one does not like, the fact that there is a functioning government is a better situation than absolute hefker, than absolute anarchy. Says the Ravi Bartanura, Bishlomo shel Malchus, not just Malchus Yisrael, not just Malchus Yehuda, not even, you know, just Malchut Medinat Yisrael. No, Bishlomo shel Malchus, Afilo shel Umos HaOlam. Clearly, this extends to non-Jewish rulers as well. Source number 12, or 13 and 12. Gemara of Avodah Zarah tries to touch up the Pasuk in Chavakuk, Vata'aseh Adam Kidgei Hayam. Man is like the fish of the sea. In what respect is like he like fish of the sea? So the Gemara gives several examples, and what I'm focusing on now, ma dugim shebayom kol hagadol mechavero boleas chavero. Just as like there is an absolute pecking order in the sea, literally, right? The biggest fish wins. That the whale swallows the larger fish swallow the smaller fish, you know, swallow the guppies. So be it. There's an absolute pecking order. So too it is amongst people. Il moli morash al malchus kol hagadol mechavero boleas chavero. It's exactly it. Literally, it would swallow one another up. Okay. Says Rashi. Rashi in source number 11. And this is an absolute proof that microscopes existed in the days of Rashi in France in the 13th century, so I apologize. I have two sets of shas at home. One, of course, is the chusin shas, which is no way is going to fit inside of a copier, and one is this pocket shas that I got when I was in yeshiva in Israel, and my eyes were better then, so I apologize.
There is such thing as an enlarger.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Black Friday, it's a good purchase at Best Buy. Yeah. Says Rashi. That's right. That's right. Says Rashi in the Mishnah Avos. Ish Esri Ehu. Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, Sagan. Yeah. Vishloma Shomachus, Kamosha Neamar, Virdushu Eshloma Ha'ir, Asher Heglesi Eschem Shama. So he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Right. Who is Yirmiyahu? Yirmiyahu was the Navi that was tasked with, right, informing of the Gaulus, right, warning about the Gaulus, helping the Jews as they were going into Gaulus. And what did he have to tell them? Here's my advice. When you get there, when Melech Bavel sends you to wherever he's going to send you, Dirshu Eshlom Ha'ir Asher Iglesias Chem Shama, right? You should seek the peace of the local government. Now, there is no question that the Jews in Bavel had malevolent feelings towards the local government. Nonetheless, the advice of Yirmiyahu is just that. Right? Dirshu es shlom ha'ir. One has to seek out the peace of the Gaulus. Why? Again, the same idea. That anything you have in place now is better than a state of anarchy. So even when you're living in Gaulus, even when you're living in Bavel, be careful to extend that way. And therefore, daven for their peace. And this concept is not actually a foreign one. Trust me, Rashi continues. He says, Shekem Matzinu Shal Yenodrim Nedarim V'Nedavos B'Shvilam Kamosha Matzinu B'Shivim Parim Shal Yishom Mevim B'Chag Al Shivim Ha'uma. So this idea of praying for non-Jews, for the government of non-Jews, right, we see this as an extension of Shivim Parim, which are offered during Sukkot. So this concept does exist. Okay. Says the Tosfos Yontif. Right? So we have the Rabbi Barkinor saying we have to daven for Shalom, even non-Jewish Malchus. Says the Tosfos Yontif, right, when we say Shlomo Shel Malchus, Hu HaMelech Im Sarav, the Yoatzav, Umanhigim, Malchusov, Osim Mishpat Ba'aretz, it extends beyond the immediate Melech, right? And he says here, Lefikach Omar Tziva HaMelech. We're not davening Bishlom HaMelech, it's Bishlom Malchus. He says, extend that beyond the person or the persons in place. Anyone in position of, we'll call it national government, is worthy of such a role. Says the Tiferes Yisrael, number 15, V'lo levad malchus, Ela gam kol manhig bi'iro va'adaso nikro b'shem melech, v'hu mispalel b'shloma. Right? It's lav davka at the national level. Even on the local level, manhig bi'iro, we should have a tefillah for their benefit. Right? Umei hai taima, he says, Osim mishaberech b'chol Shabbos l'parnasim u'manhigim. Here we see the first hint that there's actually, this is actually presented within the context of Sholem within davening, that there is some formality here, and there's a mishaberech in place, and that refers to specifically to the local government.
Isn't it really the office that we're sort of giving the kavod to, as opposed to the person? I mean, if the person occupies it, they sort of receive it, but it's really the office that we're giving the respect to.
100%.
So even an evil person or a good person, no matter what, would still have that same...
That logic would be mishaberech for somewhere.
I mean, let me think about it for a second. But I'm wondering if that's the distinction that we're sort of keying on.
Good. So we'll take it one step further. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, so we're concerned about stability, about world stability. So he says, no. Shot in the Mishnah is as follows. About Shalom Ar Sheyesh L'Adam L'Yispalel Al Shalom Kol Ha'olam. Let's move it away from the concept of government, that really, and obviously there's Rabbeinu Yonah being particularly sensitive, that you have to be concerned about everybody's tzar. Right? It's not just, you want stability in the government. By extension, any time there is misfortune in the world, we have to feel pain, right? For instance, if there is, if there's an earthquake in Turkey and thousands of people die, if there's a tsunami and we're watching on CNN and summarily tens of thousands of people are wiped out, that should cause us tsar. And story of Rav Baruch Bar Leibovich, a commoner of Rosh Yeshiva, right? Chaim Brisker's Talmud Muvak. So they said he never read a newspaper. So nowadays we hear that, of course, he was from, you don't read newspapers, it's poshnished, a newspaper. So let's assume he's not reading, Spittel Torah, he's not reading the comics and he's not reading the sports section, right? That's what I focus on. Let's assume not that. But he wouldn't even read the main section because he said, like the Rabbeinu Yonah, right? It caused him such pain. What was the news? The news was terrible, right? Just uprisings, and I said tsunamis, earthquakes, or terrible news. V'chein darkam shel tzaddikim, right? It's a very sensitive point. Those who are of a certain level, they should be pained by everything that that takes place in the world. Okay, that's the Rabbeinu Yonah. Fine.
What about if you have a case in which the malchus is not causing a peace? For example, if a person is living in Syria and the government is purposely shooting their own civilians or something like that. Now, in that case, that goes to mark things by Hitler. But aside from that, if the malchus is not creating peace or keeping the peace, then would that be a different...
What? So if the malchus isn't keeping it, so it could be if the malchus is perpetrating persecution versus the Jews, but presumably it's in an organized fashion. So the point up until now was the absence of any functioning government, of any rule of law, is a disaster. It's an abject disaster to the extent that it's just survival of the fittest.
Functioning government and rule of law are two different things.
Right, so if you have a functioning government, yet it's one that perpetrates strict persecution on the Jews, so that's the question that needs to be answered. But an absence of government is what, what the Rishonim are talking about now. Haven't discussed the Rishonim yet, but it's the absence of government which is the focus of the Mishnah.
It's a more order concept.
Yeah, absolutely.
On this particular subject, Rabbeinu Yonah amends the text very tellingly. He changes the text. That even if the malchus is oppressive, you have to see how he quotes the text. Shehi kasha aleinu. That's not fact. Yeah. That's not in the text.
Excellent. Very good.
So in other words, even an oppressive malchus.
Very nice. Let's take it from the mission to the Gemara. The Gemara in Yuma, right? Famous Gemara, Daf Samach Tes, talking about Alexander the Great. So we're two-thirds of the way down whatever it is, Isaiah. Says the Gemara of Ahatanya, V'eshem v'chamesh b'teves, yom har grizim hu delol demispet. So there's a new yontif on your calendar. Do not forget about it. It takes place on the 25th day of Teves. Right? It is the holiday of yom har grizim. And on yom har grizim, we're not allowed to give hespedim. What happened on this 25th day of Teves? Yom shebikshu kusim. Espeso akinu mi alaksandros mokdon v'achriva v'nasnu lehem. Right, the Kutim wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and he asked permission from Alexander the Great, and he granted it. V'hodiyu es Shimon HaTzadik, and they informed Shimon HaTzadik of this is what's taking place in the government. Ma'asa, what did he do? Lavash big day kahuna, but esate big day kahuna. Umiyakiri Yisrael imo vavukos shall or be a dehem. Right? So he put on the big day kahuna, big day kahuna gedola. He gathered an entourage of chashav and mention from Klal Yisrael. They took torches and they walked through the entire night to approach the government to speak with Alexander the Great. Right. So the Jews are approaching from one side, the Kutim are approaching from the other side. Once daybreak came, Amalaham Mihalalu, so Alexander the Great asked in his court, who are these people that are approaching? Amrulo Yehudim Sher Mardubach. These are the rebellious Jews who are now coming to see you. Kaven Shehigiu Antipetropos, once they came to whatever city that is, Zar Chachama, the sun rose, Ufagu Zebazeb. So the Jews and the Kutim met up with Alexander the Great. Kavan Sharal Shimon HaTzadik. Once Alexander the Great saw Shimon HaTzadik dressed in the big day kahuna, right? Yarabi Merkavso Hishtachavalafanav. He went down from his chariot. He bowed down to him, and then his entourage, Alexander the Great's entourage, says, "Wait a minute, Amr lo Melech Gadol Kamoscha Hishtachaval Yehudi Zeh. Are you kidding me? A great king like you, you're going to bow down to this Jew? What are you doing?" Amr lahem, if you misunderstand, this image of him, of Shimon HaTzadik, this image of the Kohen Gadol, goes before me in every one of my wars. Right? He has this vision that his victory were due to this person. He never met him before, but that's what I see during my wartime. I see the Kohen Gadol. Amar lahem, lama basem. So he said, "New Shimon HaTzadik and the entourage of Jews, why is it you come here?" Amru, they said to him, "Efshar bias shemispalulim bo alecho v'yalmatz chuzcha shol secharev yisavuch ovdei kachavim." Is it possible that here in a house, in the Beis HaMikdash, where we daven for you, and we daven for your government that it should not be destroyed, now these ovdei avodah zarah want to destroy it, are we not going to take action? Right, that's the point we want to extract from the Gemara. So we see here, it's not just in your local, you know, congregation of Reunite Israel, it's not just in, you know, in your shuls in Israel. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was some form of tefillah for the stability of the government, right? And presumably an evil government at the time. That's more of a Hanukkah story about Alexander the Great. Okay. That is basis from the Gemara. So with all that, now let's get a little bit more into present day. So source 18.
The statement in there that they had already been praying for the slum.
Yes, yes, exactly. And the question is, what form did this tefillah take? But the fact that it existed in the Beis HaMikdash, I think, is remarkable.
I don't know if it's going to be anticipating further comments, but you get a sense that the tefillah was meant to be utilitarian. In other words, we got it for the government, so the government should be good to us. That's one way to look at it. And there's a more of a universal. We got it for the government because we want to have, you know, peace and tranquility for the entire, you know, everybody. I think some of the sources are more towards the latter, but is there any sources that say it was very utilitarian? We want it down for the government, and they should simply not persecute.
Very nice. Very nice. So we're going to see in a little bit the discussion of, do they mean it? When we say it, do we mean it? Or is it a smokescreen to the extent that we just want to establish peace, but under our breath, boy, we're muttering something entirely different. We'll get there.
Okay. I'm taking seriously the Gemara seems to make about seems to take both chetz and gaza.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Well, does it have to be that way? I mean, if right. Interesting point, though. But do they? Because this person embodies such great personal characteristics, right? He has leadership qualities. We're going to give him kavod. Or is it the fact that he's a leader? That's why you get kavod.
Well,
I think
that's
it's more.
You read him up with
Yeah.
You and your entourage.
Yeah.
Or you, as opposed to office.
Yeah. Good. Good.
It might not be saying that much, but you know that the there was already halacha mentioned in Tegeola that you should pray for the Shlomo Medina. Based on English, is a base where the whole law is pray for people pray. So it just happened. But you know, when people pray, they have to pray. And in the base of English, there's Shlomo Malka. But I don't know if it really means that there's any formal prayer or anything.
Could be, or it could be Rashi. You know, the second shot in Rashi. That's simply it's Sukkos. It's Sukkos. That there is a time during the year where the Shiva Amim are represented, right? And And by the way, I'm going to come anytime. Like, their karbanos are available, so it's not simply a lockdown for the Jews. It's a bias of the Kaddish Baruch Hu and available at all times. Right, absolutely. I'm not sure in the Beis Hamikdash where they gave a klap and said, "Hanasein shul amlochim." Right, that's the issue. Source 18, the Kolbo. So the Kolbo, we don't know who the author is, but it is ascribed to 14th, 15th century. So the Kolbo says, "Yesh makomo shemavarchim hamelech v'achar kach hakol v'akol lefi haminug." This is the first time we see data to that far back that in fact there is, you know, formality when, after Kriyas HaTorah and Shabbos, we then take the opportunity to engage in some form of tefillah l'shlom malchus. Says the Avudra, or in the Avudra Ham's Siddur, or the Siddur for Shachos El Shabbos, V'achakach mevarech es hamelech v'esakol v'omer ashri u'machshu sefer tolem komo. Right? That the Avudra Ham was 14th century, right? He's a Rishon, he's quoted by the Beis Yosef on several occasions. Here we have actually the formality of a tefillah as part of the davening. So I found an Avudra Ham and I started flipping through it. I'm like, okay, if it says that on Shabbos, let's take a look what it says on the weekday. And sure enough, look what it says on the weekday. And this is where I got a little tired because I cut and paste, and I cut and paste the wrong part. So there's a clipping sitting on my dining room table, which is actually what I meant to show here. But we see that little space that should say, and fortunately I found it last night, V'nagu levarech es hamelech the Hispalel Hashem Shiazreu the Anseo al Oivav. Right, so he says clearly that one should daven for the government. The Achrech Mvarach Es Hakol, the Bracha to the Kehila, the Omer Ashrei, Lam Natseach, Uvalatzion, Seyedi Kedusha, even Monday and Thursday. Right, I thought that was remarkable. So, in fact, that may be a little controversial. Anytime we take out the Sefer Torah, it's kind of make davening a lot longer for that 6:30 minyan. But it seems that it's not something which is exclusive to Shabbos and Yantif. So, source number 22, in the Shiari Knesset Hagdolah, right? Reb Chaim ben Avishnit lived in the 1600s. Specifically references Hanosein Shul Amlachim. Haminog Shalana Achakriyas Torah. Lomar Hanosein Shul Amlachim. So here we actually have form and substance. And I've seen. And my purpose now was not to compare all the various texts. There are a number of texts with nuanced differences. There are one or two with really stark differences. But by and large, the text itself is similar to what we have today. Hanosein Shua Lamlachim. Okay. Up until now, it's been heavy mispalel. Nice idea, right? Do so. Yesh Mekomos, right? It's as the Shari Knesset Hagdolah says, Haminag Shalanu. But what about, you know, is it optional? Is that what we should be doing? Says the Meiri, right? It says it black on white. Chayav Adam Lispalos of Shomos Shalmachos Tamid. Period. It's not optional. One must engage in this tefillah. It is a chiyuv. And we see in the Michtav Sofer, which is really interesting. The Michtav Sofer was the son of Chassam Sofer. He writes as follows: Urei Kama Gdola Malas Birchas Haminim. See how great is the bracha of Vilam Malshinim that we have in every day Shmona Esrei, right? The Emes Tfilas Zu, Kolela Shalom Malchus Shamayim, Shalom Malchus Haaretz, B'yachad, V'kiyum Ha'olam, Osher Abrios, etc., etc. Ube Tfilas Zu, Anu Yotzim Yedech Avoseinu, Shechivu Osanu, Rabosenu Hakdoshim, Hevim Mispal Shlomo Shalom Malchus. That's fascinating that when we say Vilam Malshinim every day, and there's much discussion about what the bracha refers to, who does it refer to? He says it's a kiyum in the Mispalel B'Shlomo Shel Malchus, and that perhaps explains why the minhag developed, or our minhag developed, is we say Hanosein Shul Amlachim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We don't need it during the week because we have the bracha of Olam Malshinim filling that role, right? Obviously, that would be a question that wouldn't work according to the Avudra Ham, because Avudra Ham says Monday and Thursday as well. We say Hanosein Shul Amlachim, but it's an interesting idea that there is some way to fulfill this mitzvah every day. Okay. It'd be great if...
Where is that in the text of Olam Malshinim?
So, yeah. So he said the concepts in general, right? B'emes tefillah zu kolela shalom malchus shamayim shalom. It talks about peace in, upstairs and peace downstairs. Okay? Right, La Mashina Malti Sikhala Minim Karegi Yovedu, Machazoda Mehera Sa'akar, Sa Shabbar, you get rid of the riffraff, what are you left with? You left with Shalom. Hear ya. I hear you. That's why we have text in front of us, so you don't have to trust me. Unfortunately, I'm not capable of actually following my numbers, so we're going to go back to 21, is what I meant to say a little bit earlier. Very interesting, because we were still in the 14th century. We're talking about the Kobo, we're still talking about the Avudraham. There's a Shut Maharami Padava. Right? Maharami Padava was the Rav in Padua, Italy. He was the Av based in Venice. Rav Meir ben Isaac Katzenelo Bogan lived in around the 1500s. It's amazing what you can get out of Wikipedia. Amazing. Yeah. I was like, wow. In any event, interesting Shiloh. Shiloh has nothing to do with our topic. In their town, right, there were these two brothers, right, Avram and Ephraim. Right, and their father was Shneir. So Avram and Ephraim lived in this town. 30 years they're going to shul, right, their machas in the shul, they're doing their thing. And one day, Nebuch, their father Shneir, converted to a different religion. Right? He was Chutkishmad. So what's the status? The halacha says that if a person's father, if a person is, you know, Himir Das, converts to a different religion, obviously he's not getting an aliyah. And halacha is as well that you call their children up to the Torah in the name of their grandfather. Mm-hmm. So if the grandfather's name was Yaakov here, so no, these guys are going to now change from Avraham ben Shneir to Avraham ben Yaakov. Question was, what an embarrassment, right? Could I be Zion Vakasav? These are not guys who just moved into town. They're there 30 years, the mockers. All of a sudden, they're going to be called up to the Aliyah Yamod, Yamod Ephraim ben Yaakov. What happened? Well, my father Hutkishmad. Probably not the best example, right? In fact, he writes here, Ubanav Hayikarim lo alu l'sefer Torah me'omahuf. And the day their father converted, that's it. They never got an Aliyah. They didn't want to endure the embarrassment. What are we supposed to do? So the Maharami Padava gives a hetter on two accounts. Number one, he says that the halacha was never established in the face of busha, right? For sure not. That was not the expectation here. And, you know, in this case, it's fine to be called to the Torah Avraham ben Shneir, number one. Number two, relevant to us, second paragraph, Od yesh lahoros b'nidon didon, ki avien hu takif isar gadol. Sure enough, good old Shneir is a governor, right? He's a macher in the government, right? Uminag hu b'chol ha'arotzos ha'elu kishahachazan oches ha'sefer Torah b'yado, mevarech ha'melech osar ha'medina osov yeskalsar v'sefer Torah b'yado. The point being that there's nothing remarkable here about mentioning Schneier's name in shul. Oh, Shneir, right? He converted to a different religion. He can't mention his name in shul. You got to mention it once you put the Sefer Torah back, right? It's part of the Tefillah L'Shlom HaMalchus. As a result, he said, either Mishum Darchei Shalom or Mishum Eva, absolutely no problem to call poor little Ephraim and Avram to the Torah in the name of their father, name of Shneir. The reason I bring this is already, you know, in Italy, in the 1500s, we also have reference to a regular part of the tefillah, right? We know, Minogu b'chol ha'aratzos, the chazan goes up with the Sefer Torah, he mentions some form of tefillah shalom, the shalom ha'malchus. I should have mentioned that earlier, I apologize. So now we have the Sheri Knesset Gdola with the Nosein Shua, the Me'iri telling us that it is a chiyuv to do so, and this concept of the Mechtav Sofer saying that we actually fulfill this every day with the Lam Al Shinim, and it's just Shabbos and Yontif that we have the special text of Hanosein Shua.
Actually, you might be wrong. There is a manuscript from Padua where there is a prayer. It's the British Museum. When the Queen of Padua was sick, and there's a Mishaberach Lerefuah.
No kidding.
Another. This is actual man from Padua.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Good.
Mishaberach.
Thank you. Thank you. Source 25, the Kadosh Yisrael, which is a biography, one of many biographies of the Yisrael Salanter. So, again, we're talking about how serious a chiyuv is. The Me'iri tells us chiyuv, right? We have to do so, and how serious is it? So he says, "B'yosi pamachas b'ir krinki." Right, the Rav Shaul Salanter was visiting Krinki. Sibrili pamachas haya sham b'shabbos kodesh v'ra'ah she'ein mevarchin tefilas nosin chua. It was scandalous. He was in a shul that did not say the tefilah l'shalom malchus. Hafach panav elakir ve'omar hanosin chua ba'asmo l'kayim mash amru chazal have mispalo b'shalom l'shalom malchus. So just an example from Rav Shaul Salanter that actually, the chiyuv is pretty tight. To the extent that you go to a place where they don't say it, make sure you say it. Make sure it gets said.
I want to speculate as to what Maharam Padua meant when he said his father's already mentioned. Not by name, no. And he seems to be saying his father's mentioned as the Tsar. Would you go that far to say the Tsar, what was his name, Shneir?
Yeah. Shneir, yeah. Could be. I mean, we have texts, as you said, the Mishaberach, I know. Rabbi Frandon Ishir, he talked about a show in Amsterdam where there's a bronze plaque referencing Queen Wilhelmina.
But there seems to be a difference between naming by name. You know, it was common in those days to refer to the Malchus by name as a stand-in for the country.
Right.
I can't see that filtering down to lower levels. This guy wasn't a king.
Okay.
King Shaya.
Okay, King Shaya. Okay. Okay, his honor the governor. Right, okay. Good, good, good. So, back to the question that Yisrael asked, right? How serious are we? How, you know, what form...
By the way, I just wanted to point out that Yisrael Salanter was talking about the Tsar. He didn't want to miss the Shabbos of not saying Tfilah Shalom HaMedina for the Tsar. Right?
Wow.
And we're talking, what, 1880 or 1890? So, like, the worst Tsar.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent.
Most oppressive. So, it's not Hitler, but it's darn close.
Right. Right. Wow, very good. Thank you. So, in the Akdam to the Yamshel Shlomo, right, Rav Shlomo Luria, 1500s, he writes, Zos Ladas Kol Malkum Shenau Rav Sefer Hazeh, right? Disclaimer, anytime you're going to see in this Sefer, the Yamshel Shlomo, Shem Goyim, O Akum, or Barazara, Umos Ha'olam, Hakol Namar Ala Umos Hakadmonim Shahayu Odeka Chavim Mazalos. Right? Whenever you see that phrase, it's not what we're referring to nowadays. That's talking about previous generations. Really, people who were just off the deep end, prey to all kinds of forces. No, 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 no. Bavalo Ala Umos Shabizman Hazer, Asher Anachnu. They know some come before Bahar Makomos, but Poskim, but other Abba, Anachnu, Mispalim, Tumid, right? He seems to be very sincere. He seems to say, no. Nowadays, right, 1500s, when we daven, we mean it. This tefillah is talking malchus because we're dealing with a different kind of malchus, or a different kind of government, or a different kind of umos ha'olam. It's not the avodah zaraniks of previous generations. They may be difficult people. They may be virulent anti-Semites. But when we say the tefillah, we're actually... meaning it, we actually intend for their shalom, again, for the reasons stated before, because we want, you know, we want to emphasize stability. That's one of them. Number 27. For those of us who are privileged to hear from Rabbi Schachter on Tisha B'Av morning, Rabbi Schachter gives his annual tour de force on Tisha B'Av morning. Unbelievable.
Yes,
Tisha B'Av. I was privileged to hear it for 5 years in Boston when he was there. I'm a little too young to have sat when the Rav did it, but my brothers were there. Incredible. So this past year, he made reference to this statement of Rav Yosef Kapach. Okay, so Rav Yosef Kapach passed away not all that long ago. He lived in Yerushalayim. He wrote a translation to the Rambam Perush Mishnayos, the Rambam Aron Avuchim. He was a bucky within the Taimani community and their culture. So Rabbi Schachter spoke this in the context of the keynotes. He was talking about there are certain times where Chazal telegraph certain messages to us by quoting one pasuk but meaning something else, or meaning the next pasuk, because everyone here knows Tanakh by heart, right? Everyone knows clearly what's meant by any pesukim. He was talking in the context of the Gemara Kamsa Bar Kamsa, Adir Balvanon Yipol, right? So the next pasuk says, I forget the quote, something about Chazag Netem Yishai, something about the Mashiach will then come. So the idea that we say Adir Balvanon Yipol, basically is going to be destroyed, but take hope, O Jews, as you're reading Gemara Kamsa Bar Kamsa every year, there's a telegraph message, and by the way, the Mashiach's going to come. You know, a little bit of Nechama within the context. And then he said, this is actually a very consistent tool amongst the body of Halacha. Says Rav Yosef Kapach, right? This tefillah of Nosin Shu'al Amlachim, first of all, Einu Mitzuya B'Nusach Teman HaMakori Klal U'Klal. We never had this in Teman, right? Never happened. Only the last 300 years, once the printing press was introduced, was this somehow become part of our tefillos, right? And it must have come from those Ashkenazim and Sfardim. Why? And this just blows me away, right? Yadua Shahayubat the Knesset, B'Teman HaMakom, Ha'autonomy, Ha'yachid, B'Chayeh, Yehudim Sham. Yemen was such a phenomenal place for the Jews. Jews had enjoyed autonomy. Kiashel tonos v'hamoni ha'arabim kibdu ma'odis bate kineseos v'makomos v'tfila. Look at the respect that the Arabs gave to the Jews and to the shul. Fantastic. Never would they have placed a spy in the shul. It has no place within Taimani culture, nonetheless, for the last 300 years, Kili was introduced from Sephardi and Ashkenazi communities, specifically coming from the West. Yeah, and then what does he say? He says something which is phenomenal. Really, just unbelievable. And the Nusach HaNosein Tshuva, Niskem B'Tfuna Rabba, right? Genius the way that this tefillah was put together. V'lom B'Mikra Nisnu Shnei HaPsukim M'Suyim Ba, right? The psukim themselves require explanation, right? Hanosin Shulam Lachim, source number 28 in Tehillim, right? Whoever gives dominion to kings, yeah, so what? Next pasuk, Pseini Bahatzileini Miad Ben Nechar, place no trust in them, they're garnished, they're disgusting people. Yeah, you wouldn't say that outright, but you get the message. Second pasuk, right? Hanosin Bayam Derech of Amayim Azim Nitziva. Right, he who places, paths in the sea, Hamotzi Rechav Asus V'Chayel V'Izus Yachtav Yishkuvu Ba Yekumu LeHashem, destroy them and wipe them out. So it's a smokescreen, right? We're saying the message, oh great government, so be it. By the way, you should all drop dead. You're disgusting. You're ignoble the way you treat the Jews. Horrible. That's the implicit message by giving, by saying the text of the Nosin Shulam Lachem. So the answer to your question is yesh v'yesh. There, I guess there were communities which meant it, wholeheartedly, that not only do we say we want shalom for the Malchus, we mean it and everything should be good, because hopefully prosperity within the Malchus ultimately will result in prosperity for the Jews, halalai. Or, examples of abject persecution, clearly they had no intention whatsoever of saying one positive word about the government, and this is the secret code of the tefillah of Nosin Shulam Lachem. Really.
Well, some extent he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, because first he's saying, where I live, the government, all the people are wonderful, they're very nice. And then he seems to be making a distinction, like what people were saying before, like the difference between the Tsar or Hitler and between other types of nations. So he's not just saying it in general, but he seems to be saying it.
So the question is, 300 years ago, how did the Taimani community fulfill having mispalo b'shalom shel malchus? Because clearly they didn't say Hanosin Shua. Maybe they didn't feel the need to it because they were on phenomenal relations with the local authorities. Don't know the answer to that question. But there had to be some way, if in fact it's a chiyuv, like the Miri says, there had to be some way that they accomplished this.
And I think you said, but I missed, when does that phrasing first show up?
First appearance we have of Hanosin Shua was in the Shari Knesset Agdola, right? That is 16th century, I believe. And in fact, there is a, I didn't put in the YU printout, excuse me, 17th century, it's in the 1600s. In the YU printout, they have a Siddur published in 1601, which has the text. Very similar to what we have in Nosin Shul Olam Lachem.
So, clues to who wrote this, or how it got spread, or where it comes from?
I have to check Wikipedia.
You're not suggesting that. Kessel's
Bill
was the one,
he just references it all. Everybody knows it's Fila. The fact that he doesn't go into the full text is Uriah. That's not, everybody knows it. Yeah.
So we've got a limit on it, but
right. Right.
Is there any possibility that what Kapach is saying is tongue-in-cheek about the relationship with the...
Doesn't appear that way. I mean, he's writing in Yerushalayim. There's probably no reason at that point to be couching his words.
Okay.
I was thinking about that when I read the Yom Shel Shlomo. Like, really? Does he really mean it? But, he seems to be very sincere about the fact that, no, that, there were previous generations where there was no reason to say it, but now we really mean it. We have that affinity.
There was very little integration, so that the Jewish community in Taiman had their own villages,
and they
pretty much operated as they knew their status was secondary status.
So I just want to clarify, they could have been sincere, I guess, again, but the question is, what was their real motivation? If being sincere, is it real motivation, like I said, because what we're really asking for, you should be good to us. I know it's in Shul, we're a minority, just do exactly that. We want to pray for the government so no one gets hurt, but what we really want to make sure is that we don't get hurt.
Right.
That's one view. Another view could be,
is we're really praying for the government because we have a universal, we have a universal desire for peace and prosperity for all of mankind. It's not. It may not be conflicting, but it's both. But the question is, if you
so you seem to be closer to Rabbeinu Yonah in the second view that we want, you know,
well,
the world to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basic shot in the Mishnah is the first view, that we just want some level of stability because chayim bla'o, the world's going to get swallowed up. Second view, you know, is the Mefarshim to talk about? No, it's deeper than that.
Structure was tefillah, if Rav Kabbah says the sources are, or this code basically intermixed with very negative wording. In other words, he's turning it around and saying, trample them, etc. And by us in Yemen, peace all the time. But the rest of the world, what he's saying here is, in other words, from Tehillim, this is very negative. Why choose that Girsah?
Right, so clearly, right, these were Philo said in places where there were spies, they had to speak in code. Right, you had to say a tefillah l'shlomo malchus, either because of the halacha dictates or because you wanted appeasement for the government. But what are you going to say? So this is a clever way of accomplishing.
Not from here, though. In other words, this is all negative. The whole context.
Right, but the text itself appears very positive. I know Saint Shualim Lachim, like Shkadosh Baruch should help them. Code, you know, you guys are in a lot of trouble. Okay. Just to present source 30, right? We have the Nosin Shulam Lachim. So in the days of Shabtai Tzvi, they took this tefillah, right, and they kind of substituted every mention, you know, reference to Geula, replaced it with a prayer that he should, you know, he should become the Mashiach, he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, right? V'yinsar v'yazar v'mom v'yinase l'malo adunenu malkein harava kodesh sadik v'nosha who, you know, Sultan Shabtai Tzvi Mashiach. It's just fascinating that they take the text of the Nosin Shua and they just, you know, literally convert it to Shabtai. It's fine. Number 31 from the Chelkas Yaakov of Avraham Bornstein, the Sukkot Shavu Rebbe in the 1800s. Interestingly, Yom Kesherabu, Kesherabu Hakodesh Netlatz Lazov Es, yeah, whatever that city is, Begal Redivos Vitzaros Sheolo Anashim Ra'im, that the Sukkot Shavu Rebbe had to run away from this town. Why? Shehel Shino Alav Bifnei Hashiltonos Harusim Ki Luzilzo Bechod Hazar Shelo Hispal Bereis Lekneses Tfilas Nosin Shua. He didn't say no sin shua, right? Bayom Haktaras Alexander Ashlishi, scandalous. He didn't say it on the day that, right? Alexander III was anointed. It was a big problem. Someone informed on him to the government, and he was forced to run away. Okay.
And some of the Eastern European Shelot Tshuvot, they appear to rely on a halachic concept, which is called Mishum Eva. And it is because it's tikkun ha'olam. It has nothing to do with the efficacy of the prayer. But Rishum Eva,
100%.
They would be...
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, the Marami Padova mentions that. So two reasons. One was Darfur Shalom, one was Mishum Eva. Exactly right. The responsibility to maintain whatever relationship we could in positive fashion. Source number 32, just an announcement. It's from 1910. The Kollel and... Ostrach Galicia in Yerushalayim, right, recited its tefillah l'shlomo malchus in honor of the 80th birthday of Franz Joseph I. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, which just amazing.
No, he was beloved.
No, he was. Yeah. Nonetheless, this was, you know, this was announced, this was publicized. Anyhow, let that stand on its own. Fine. Two
so
more.
They were in Yerushalayim, but they were praying for...
yes, so they're publicizing that this tekes is going to take place.
No, Galicia itself
was in
Australia.
Right. So this is the Kollel in Yerushalayim, right. So two quick points. The Magen Avraham writes, right, Hashem Spalim V'yapil Sonov Hainu Sonim Shiva Malchuso V'chol Olam Yeshehudim, right, that there is a text which may or may not appear in Asidurim, by and large I don't think we have it today, but it says V'yapil Sonov. So he's clarifying, these are enemies within the country who are trying to take down the government. This doesn't refer to your enemies, because there are Jews in other countries throughout the world. The Chas V'Shalom, we would make a tefillah saying you should destroy your enemies, which includes Jews in enemy countries. No, we're talking here, when we say Yapil Sonov, it refers to It refers to those who are trying to overthrow the government. Similarly, the Machzitz HaShekel and the Magen Avraham says the same idea. He says that, and you know, I wouldn't even try to read that microscopic print, but it essentially says if Jews in two countries are at war, each praying for the demise of its enemies, right? It's necessarily tefillah shav. You can't reconcile both of them, right? You should be destroyed, Yapel Sonov. You should be destroyed, Yapel Sonov. One of those two tefillahs is not going to work. So he says it's illogical to think that's pshat in Yapel Sonov. Rather, it means like the, you know, explaining the Magen Avraham, it means the enemies within the country who are trying to overthrow the government. Good, good. Two last points. I appreciate your attention. Rav Itzel of Elezhiner had to meet the Tsar on a number of occasions. Frequently he was called to the Tsar, taken to task for whatever the situation of the day called for. So he called him at one point and said, I have my spies in your shoals, and I see you say this tefillah for the benefit of the welfare of the government, very nice, that the Tsar should continue, Yerom Minasev, Yigadu Lamala, beautiful. But I also have spies in Germany, and you're saying the same tefillah for the welfare of the Kaiser of Germany. Oh, and by the way, I hate the Kaiser of Germany. Right? How do you reconcile this? Clearly, you Jews are merely paying lip service by the fact that on one side you're praying for the welfare of the Tsar, and the welfare for the welfare of his enemy of the Kaiser. What's going on here? So Rizal Elezhiner responded, said, look at the nosach that we have in our tefillah, right? You translated the tefillah, right? Hanosein b'mayim, of course I don't have this tefillah in front of me, Hanosein b'yom derech v'mayim azim nisiva, right? That you give, you cause roads or pathways in the sea, you cause large waves to move. Where do we ever talk about this? Right? There's so many things you could talk about. Gadol, Adar, Nora. This is the language that we use in this tefillah. We never, rarely ever refer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu under these, you know, with these accolades. What's pshat? He says, no. Let me ask you something. If someone is in the east and needs to travel to the west, in those days they travel by sea and they have little sailboats and there was the wind, what are they davening for? Or big ships with sails. They're davening for a westerly wind to help move them to their port. But at that very same moment, if someone's in the west and wants to travel east, he's davening for an easterly. How could that be? Two people at the same time, davening for the very same thing, but in opposite directions, it can't be. That, says Rabbi Yitzchak Elezhiner, is the unique koach, one of the unique kochos of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he can provide a westerly wind for those who need it. At the very same time, he can provide an easterly wind for those who need it. You're concerned about the tefillah of Shlom HaMalchus? No, it's not a problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can provide victory for you, the Tsar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can provide victory at the same time for the Kaiser of Germany. It's a Eisner response. I'm not sure, I assume the Tsar accepted that. But he said, no, it's in the nusach of the tefillah itself. Accommodates for you. Don't think that this is all a smokescreen. We mean it sincerely. It's all meant well, because this is a unique koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide victory at disparate places, even when it seems they seem to be in conflict for us. Just to wrap up, it seems to me, right, I'll turn it into Thanksgiving football, that as I was reviewing this and getting a little sense of history throughout generations, that it's, as we all know, one tragedy after another, one government of persecution after another. It's just unbelievable that this, you know, this tefillah, whatever its form and substance, was said in all these places, and yet we turn around now to a Thanksgiving Day in a Malchus Shel Chesed of America, where we have unprecedented religious freedom. I think that in and of itself is remarkable as well. So when we say the tefillah, Hanosein Shu'olam Lachem, right, whether or not we're in favor of the current administration or not is not the point. The fact that we enjoy the liberties that we do, I think, is a tremendous chesed. And whether we're, you know, whether we're going in the derech of Reb Simcha Zissel, for all the reasons we give kavod to Malchus, let's not forget the Hakaras HaTov as well. I think that's probably the most important point of today's football games. Yes?
I just wanted to mention this. A couple, maybe 6 weeks ago, about 2 months ago, there was they organized a community legislative breakfast. It was at RENA, where the abbot was asked to open the session. And all, and this was in front of about 50 elected local officials, and all he did was he read the tefillah. And he said, this is what is said, you know, across all schools.
of all your constituents. It's a big Kiddush.
Terrific. Terrific. Shkach. Thank you. Thank you for your attention.
There's no motivation. First of all, I'm guessing it's like
there was
for that football team student.
Yeah.
These are all situations in which Jews are living in lands that are obviously governed by secular authorities or Jews. But I've noticed that in Israel, some of these circumstances are less likely they are quite straight for some reason.